Well, I have a little burden this morning, and I first want to sing a verse of a song in our hymnal, number 130, and we'll just sing the first verse. And the title of this song is Press the Battle On. And if you notice, the first words of each verse is forward, forward. And let's go ahead and sing the first verse. And before we sing this, though, I want to challenge you with this. Whether you feel like it or not, sing this song like you mean it. So we'll just sing verse 1. Thank you. Thinking of the words of that song, forward, forward. I have written on the board, moving forward. And to think of it this way, moving forward is not always easy. I'll give an example. If you were to, have any of y'all ever had to push a car that's dead, will not start, and it's maybe flat, you know, you don't have the downhill to help, or no one else around, you put it in neutral, and maybe you're by yourself, you start pushing that car. It's pretty tough at first. And if you're fortunate enough, if it's not a flat tire, and if there's not a big rise or something, you can finally get it moving. But have you noticed that once you get it moving, it moves easier and easier and easier? You know, it's the same with our walk with the Lord. The song that was saying earlier, learning to lean. The more we learn to lean on the Lord, the easier it gets. And it sounds maybe kind of comical there, but yet it's true. The more you learn to trust the Lord, the more you learn, oh, I can give this to Him too. And all of that is actually moving you forward to that goal. Is moving you forward to that perfection, that completeness and that wholeness that God desires for all of us. All right? So in thinking of this song, it says, forward, forward is the battle cry. I love that. And you think about that. That is the mindset that we must have. We can't sit back and go, I'm just content to stay where I'm at. That type of attitude. No. We need to be willing to learn to lean more. We need to be willing to learn to move forward when God says move forward. Okay? And you can think of it this way too. It's easy to get comfortable in your walk with the Lord. You could have this mindset. Well, I've always done it this way. And God always works this way. And this always happens. And now let's stop just a second here. Is it really true that always is the best approach to have here? Perhaps God would have us maybe shake us up a little bit. Last Sunday we talked about being stretched a little bit. Sometimes a lot. But I want to remind us, God is the one that knows how far to stretch us and when to stretch us. And sometimes that stretching is, come on, we're going forward. Have you ever had a little child? That maybe even adults too, but especially a child that doesn't want to go somewhere, and maybe you get a hold of their shirt or their jacket and it's like, and you're stretching it and they're like, no, I'm not going. And you're like, yeah, no, we're going, we're leaving. No, I don't want to. You know, sometimes God has to do that with us too. As much as we don't like it, or as much as it doesn't feel good, or that's not comfortable, or I don't want to do that, or that doesn't make sense, or whatever the case is. Like, no, I don't, I'm content, just stay right here. The Lord's saying, no, come on. We got to move forward. Okay? It's the battle cry. We can't stay here. We'll get stagnant and we'll be overcome with the enemy. Okay? If we stay here. All right? So, there's an example of someone in the Bible. I want to read a few scriptures of this story. In Genesis, the 26th chapter. And this is about Isaac. And give just a little background here. Well, we'll just start with verse 1. This is the best way to do it, I guess. That there was a famine in the land. So, Isaac has a family. He says there was a famine in the land. This is Genesis 26 and 1. Beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. See, there was another famine when Abraham, his father, was in the land. And if you remember correctly, Abraham went down to Egypt to escape the famine. And God blessed him there and brought him back. Well, here it is, another famine in the land. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, but dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. So think about this here for a moment. How easy it is sometimes to think that, well, everything is just going to work like clockwork, like it's always worked before. I have that mindset, okay? And perhaps Isaac is thinking, oh, I remember Dad, you know, my father, Abraham, he went down to Egypt, so that sounds like a reasonable thing to do. I'm going to go do that too. And God said, no, don't go. You know how easy it would have been for Isaac to say, but Lord, why not? I mean, my father survived just fine down there. Do you not believe in me that I can't handle that or something? No, Isaac took it and he obeyed God. And you know, that type of mindset was the key to his further success, as we read on down in this chapter, because he was willing to listen to the Lord and move forward with his voice, you see. Now here's the thing, we can also get ahead of the Lord, all right? Because you know what Isaac could have done? Before God even had a chance, when a process of time, he realized, this famine is bad, I'm out of here. And he could have been halfway down to Egypt. He could have tried to get ahead of the Lord, okay, and move forward on his own accord. But no, the key is, and you'll see how this follows here, we need to move as the Lord directs us, okay? Not in our own wisdom, because Solomon was saying earlier, I'm learning to lean on who? On Jesus, not on ourselves, not on our own strength, but yet we must move forward as well, okay? So here's what Isaac did. He appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt. He said, verse 3, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. So he's given a promise. If you sojourn here, where I tell you to go, I will be with you. And Isaac's saying, okay, sounds like a good deal. He says, and notice what else he says. I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So here it is again, the Lord is reemphasizing, reaffirming to Isaac, the same promise that God gave Abraham is extended down to Isaac too, with the condition, if you obey my voice, okay, if you do what I tell you to do. You know, Isaac, again, had some options here. He could have ignored the Lord and said, no, this does not make sense. This is where the famine is at, Lord, in this area here. Why don't I get as far away from this as I can to risk starving, okay? I want to go back down to Egypt. But no, he listened to the voice of the Lord. And here is the amazing thing. Though in the physical sense, you could say Isaac was not moving forward, okay? But yet with progression with the Lord, okay, Isaac was moving forward. Now that is something I think is very key for us to understand this morning. Because we are humans, we look at situations and we think, well, if we're not going here and doing there and being active and doing all these things, then we're not moving forward with the Lord. That's not necessarily true. It starts in the heart, you see. It starts with your attitude, your approach to the Lord, and your true confidence and trust in Him and saying, Lord, I'm going to obey whatever You tell me to do. If You tell me to stay, I'm still going to move forward with You in my trust and confidence with You, Lord. You see? Or if You tell me to go, all right, I'm still moving forward with You, Lord, as long as You tell me to go. Okay? So there is a balance here. Well, it goes on. We won't read the rest of the verses here, 6 through 11. Another issue happened there with Rebekah, his wife. But it goes on in verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. That's amazing. We're not talking about twice. We're talking about a hundredfold. That is impressive. God blessed him. But notice what Isaac did here. He didn't just sit back with his feet kicked up in a lazy boy chair in a corner sipping lemonade. He went out and said, and he sowed in that land. He's like, Lord, You tell me to stay? All right, I'm going to stay, but I'm going to be active. Okay? And so he sowed in that land. That's a challenge for all of us, is it not? The Lord says stay. He's like, okay, I'm going to stay. All right, I'm here, Lord. No. Say, Lord, okay, I'm here. Now, Lord, what do You want me to do while I'm here? Waiting for the next command. Your next, what do You want me to do next, Lord? You know, Isaac, he didn't have to be a genius to figure this out. If I'm going to survive here, I have to do something, all right? So I'm going to go out and I'm going to sow. And you know what? I don't think Isaac for a moment thought that he was going to get 100-fold. I don't even think the Lord told him, hey, if you go do this, I'll give you 100-fold. No. I think he was just impressed. Okay, I need to go sow. I'm going to go plant some seed. And he went and did that. And the Lord saw his obedience and his willingness to follow him and to move forward where God put him. And he's like, I'm going to bless him for that. And he chose to bless him 100-fold. To me, I think that is amazing. That God was so merciful and proving his love to him. He's like, I'm going to reward you for what you did. And so he gave him 100-fold and blessed him. And notice verse 13. And the man waxed great. So he grew great. Okay. And then it says, and went forward. Okay. That's where this little thought came from this morning, is moving forward. And here's the mindset. I don't think Isaac was even content. And notice here, he's living in a physical situation here. Perhaps, it doesn't say this, but just perhaps, Isaac had a great drive to continue to move forward here. He wasn't, maybe he wasn't even content with the 100-fold. He's like, you know what? I can do some more. Maybe God will bless some more. Because maybe there's some folks out there that are able to go and sow like I can and be active and up and doing. So I'm going to do more so I can give more. You see what I'm saying? He's like, if God can bless me with this, He can bless me to help someone else. And I believe that was the, it doesn't say that here, but I believe that was the mindset that Isaac had. Okay? Because it goes on here. It says he went forward and he grew until he became very great. Start out just great. But I believe the more, we're talking about momentum here, folks. I believe the more he moved forward with the Lord in true 100% confidence that God's going to meet his needs, though he told him to stay here and just do what I tell you to do. And he's like, all right, I'm going to do that. I believe the more he trusted him and the more action he put behind that, God's saying, I'm going to reward you some more and more and more. And it says he grew very great. Isn't that wonderful this morning? Such a simple little story hidden in the scriptures. And it's not just for Isaac this morning. This is for all of us here. And not just all of us in the four walls of this room. Do you realize God has the same desire for every single human being on the face of this earth? And yet we have people that are saying, oh, but Lord, You told me to stay. Okay, I'm going to stay and cross our arms. Oh, Lord, help us that we not have that approach, that attitude towards God. Because God, what's the scripture saying? He says, I have thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. No doubt God was expecting and wanted to give him 100-fold, but he wasn't going to give it to him until Isaac made up his mind, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to do what you told me to do." And that's exactly what he did, and that's exactly what God did. It's as simple as that. It's like a math equation. 2 + 2 always equals 4. And you think about this, what Isaac did here, it goes on, it was more than just the things that he sowed in the ground, the seeds. Notice what all he says in verse 14. "For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants." It was more than just the crops. God was just blessing him bountifully. You can't outgive the Lord. You can't do that. It's like the more he was doing and giving, the more the Lord just saying, "I got the windows of heaven up here. How much are you going to trust me, Isaac?" Isaac saying, "I'm going all the way. I'm moving forward, Lord. Whatever you tell me to do, wherever you tell me to go, I'm going to do that." And God's saying, "That's my child." And notice how the possessions, the flocks, everything increased. And he was very great. Okay? But that's not the end of the story. Unfortunately, you know there's more to life than just the beds of roses. Sometimes in the beds of roses come the little thorns. And that's just part of it. And God sees fit that that is the best way to keep us dependent on Him. Okay? Because notice in the last of this verse 14, what happens? "And the Philistines envied him." Uh-oh. You mean he's not going to get away with this? Oh no, we all have an enemy of our souls. And let me tell you what, Isaac had some enemies here. The Philistines saw how God was blessing him. And they envied that. How did he get that? That is no fair. We're living right here too. And how is everything he's doing is just multiplying. How is that happening? The Philistines envied him. And notice, this was something, no doubt, it wasn't something like, I don't believe it was a light bulb came on, or all of a sudden, one day, all the Philistines are going, "Oh, we envy you." I don't believe it happened that way. I believe it was a process of time. And maybe one after another, people started doing things trying to oppose Isaac behind the scenes. You know, it could have been as simple as walking by after they knew that he just sowed some seed in the earth. They could have walked by and threw some tares, threw some weeds, whatever, just for the fun of it. And maybe all his cattle and flocks, you know, all his animals, everything, and maybe they did things to break down some of the walls or barriers and kind of let some out so they might accidentally escape. You know, who knows what all took place there. But I believe it was a process of time, and I don't believe Isaac was oblivious to this. I believe he understood what was going on. But you know, through all of this, Isaac, just like in this case of Job, he didn't charge God foolishly and saying, "Lord, you told me to stay here, and now look how they're treating me. How dare they?" I don't think Isaac had that attitude. I don't believe Isaac had that approach. Okay? Because it proves by his actions of what he really believed, he put into action later. Because if we read on here, later in this chapter, it first starts with, in verse 15, it talks about, it says, "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth." So here he is, his father Abraham had dug all these wells, and the Philistines had stopped them all with earth. He's like, "Okay, well, we got to do something. We got to have to have wells of water for the increase of my flocks." And then it goes on further. And notice some more opposition here. It's one thing to be envied, but these Philistines took their envy to the next level. They took action upon their envy. Because it goes on, verse 16, "And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." It's like, get out of here. We can't stand you. You are a problem for us. And you think about that for a moment. You know, sometimes in life, we can get that sense or that feeling. And it's not just from other people, okay? Yet the enemy may work through other people, but it's like, it feels like things or people or everything is opposing me every direction I go, and I'm just trying to follow the Lord. And yet there's opposition here, and there's envy over there, and there's bitterness or hatred over there, whatever the case is. And maybe people throwing tares in the crops over here, and I'm trying to... And you know, Isaac could have stepped back from this and said, you know, this isn't going so well. You told me to leave. You know what? I think I'm just going to go on down to Egypt anyway. Think about that. No doubt that could have been a temptation for Isaac, saying, Lord, you told me to stay here, and now look what's happening. This is just not fair. This is not right. I can't handle this, Lord. I'm going to go on down to Egypt anyway. But no, Isaac did not do that. He didn't trust in himself. He continued to have confidence in the Lord. You told me to stay. All right. And all these wells are filled up. I got to feed. I got to water my flocks. I got to do something. And then you know what Isaac did? Goes on verse 17 through 23. He went out and they dug another well. And if that wasn't good enough, they came and filled that one up too. He's like, okay. I'm not going to stay here with my arms crossed, and I'm not going to just going to get in this big old battle and this war of words, war of actions, whatever. And like, we're going to duke it out right here. I got the Lord on my side. You better watch out, Philistines. You know what Isaac did? He moved forward. He's like, Lord, okay, I'm going to go on. And he went on and he dug another well. And you know what happened again? They came along and filled up that well too. Happened twice. And for some folks, perhaps that's all it will take before... Have you heard the old saying of the straw that broke the camel's back? Just a little bit more and it's over. You know, that could have been the case with Isaac. But I want to remind us, Isaac is proving here that he's relying on the Lord. And not just his own wisdom, his cunning craftiness... And his own strength and all those things. No. He's relying on it. He's like, okay, second time, I'm going to go dig another well. So he went, dug another well. Like, maybe this is it. You know what? It happened again. But through all of this, Isaac... Let me read the scriptures here. In verse 24. The Lord knew what was going on. Okay? And it says in verse 24, and the Lord appeared... unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. And what else does he tell him? Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Oh, what wonderful words to hear. You know, that let Isaac know, oh, I'm still on the winning side. Though it does not appear like I'm winning, and though I'm pressing the battle on in this battle cry saying, oh Lord, I'm following you all the way, but yet it's not like something's happening here. Yet the Lord knew Isaac needed a visit from him. You know, God knows what we have need of, as the scripture says, even before we ask. Because God can come on the scene in a particular situation that we're just kind of, if you could say, shell-shocked. And not like we're running from God, or we're just kind of, okay, what do I do next, Lord? And perhaps that's where Isaac was at. He wasn't running down to Egypt, and he wasn't just stalling just to have self-pity, but he's probably trying to collect himself saying, okay, what do I do next? And the Lord came on the scene. He's like, guess what, Isaac? I am the Lord your God of Abraham. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. You know what Isaac did after that? It says, and he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. You know what? Isaac responded to that. And you know, I believe that meant so much to the Lord to know that my servant, he's not sitting down there and he's not doing his own thing in his own way. He is responding to me. And it says, he called upon the name of the Lord. And no doubt Isaac is, I believe part of this, he's probably calling on the name and say, Lord, what do I do next here? Where do I go? In the meantime, Lord, thank you for how you've kept me. I believe that was the other part of it too. With gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord, that the Lord is still there with him. And oh, what a communion they had there. He took time to build an altar unto the Lord. And you know, I think that is a good example for all of us to follow. That Isaac, though he felt alone and had opposition, told to leave, kept digging these wells, they kept being filled up. But you know what? He kept moving forward. Okay? Now, we shift gears here a little bit. We'll take this to a practical, personal level. This is where we live. You know, in life, we can have some opposition. We can have some lonely times. We can have some times of frustration. No doubt Isaac, in the flesh, he was frustrated. I know he was. But yet, through all of that, his actions proved that he wasn't charging God foolishly. He didn't do that. But in our lives, you know, we can have hurts towards God and towards our fellow man. And quite frankly, towards ourselves. There can be things where maybe God has, we felt like God has hurt us. And we can sit back and say, Lord, why did you do that? Why did you allow this and allow that? And Lord, where have you been? You see, we can have those. But if we stay in that mindset of just this lingering question and this lingering agony towards God, that's not moving forward. That's not showing the Lord. If you don't add at the end of that question, say, but yet, Lord, your will be done. You know, Jesus did the same. He quays like, Lord, why have you forsaken me, Father? Nevertheless, thy will be done. He's like, whatever you want to do, Heavenly Father. You know, we need to have that same mind. Let's not linger and hang on to hurts towards the Lord. Because God does everything just and right. He does not make a mistake. If there's any mistakes, it happens on our end. Let's just be honest with ourselves. And that goes on to another thing. Being hurt towards others. It's easy, as the scriptures say, to see see the mote in your brother's eye. But yet within ourselves, we have this big old beam hanging out of ours. It's so easy to see the faults and the shortcomings and the failures of everyone else. Like, how could have they ever done that? Why would they do that? You know, if you harbor those feelings and those emotions and those attitudes towards other people through the rest of your life, I'm going to tell you something. You're not moving forward. And you're going to grow stagnant and you're going to shrivel up and you're going to die. And you know, that's exactly what could have happened to Isaac. But he refused to stay in that position. He's like, no, Lord, I'm going to move forward with you. I'm going to, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. And then it goes on another area, and this gets on truly the personal level. Our own failures and shortcomings. You know, if we allow them, those things can drag us down too. Where we can even get in a position where we can't even forgive ourselves. That's tough. Let me tell you something. That's not moving forward. If you linger there, and if you're content to say, I cannot believe I did that. Why did I do that? That was so foolish. And just keep hounding yourself, saying that there's no way, I cannot forget. There's just not, it's just a black mark on my life forever. I never can get rid of that. Let me tell you, folks, that is not the attitude of moving forward. That is hanging on to something from the past. Okay? Whether it was even one of your own failures or a failure of someone else. But it's never been a failure of God. Ever. And I realize that is a bold statement. Let me tell you something. If you can ever think you find a place where God is wrong, you've missed the mark. I've missed the mark. Because that proves that the Bible is not true. Because the Scripture says He is just and true and right in everything that He does. That's a bold statement, but that's what the Word of God says. And you know what I found? People like Isaac have hung their whole life on those type of promises. And you know what? In the end, guess who wins? People that move forward with the Lord. That are willing to drop those things of the past. And you know a perfect example? I've brought him up many times, but you remember Apostle Paul. You remember what he said in Philippians, the 3rd chapter? Apostle Paul went through a lot of opposition. He went through a lot of things that he didn't understand. And he had some personal failures. Oh, did he ever? Talk about someone persecuting the church? Giving permission to put people in prison? And to stone them? Oh yes, that was him. Talk about some baggage of the past that he could have hung on to. But notice what he says in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 and 14. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." Get a hold of this, folks. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." First of all, if there were some failures and mistakes that we have made in the past, there is a part where we have to be responsible and give an account of what we did or didn't do. We have to face up. We can't run from it. You can't deceive God and deceive yourself. You can try, but it won't happen. God knows what's in your heart. God knows the things that you said, the things that you did. God knows them. You can't trick Him into anything. God knows what those are. God also knows the disappointments and the hardships that you've experienced in life too. God also knows the opposition that you were faced with, maybe when you were very vulnerable. Okay? God knows that too. But dear ones, we cannot hang on to those things to the extent that it starts dragging us down and others with us. There is a point where we have to make up our mind, am I going to move forward with the Lord in His almighty name? And here it is, Apostle Paul, he had to forget those things of the past. Yes, he had people wanting to kill him. But you know what? That didn't stop him. Even in the end, he wanted to go back to Jerusalem. We knew that would be his end, but he went anyway. Okay? Moving forward with God is not for the faint-hearted. It's for those that are willing, as the song we just sang, are willing to press the battle on. And with this battle cry, that I'm not going backward. I'm not just going to stand still. I have to move forward for my own soul's sake. Okay? So again, we have to take responsibility. If there's something we did, ask forgiveness. Forgive ourselves. Forgive others. Ask God to forgive us. That's moving forward, dear. That's releasing the weights of the past. That's releasing those things and saying, "Lord, I give them to You." That's part of casting all our cares. It's easy maybe to cast the future, but you know what? Sometimes we have to cast the past as cares on the Lord too. All of the cares. Cast them all on the Lord. And then it goes on, one more scripture. Philippians 4 and 8. You know, all battles start in your mind. With Isaac, he had a battle in his mind. When the Philistines were starting to envy him, he's thinking, "Oh, how dare they? Oh, so-and-so did that and so-and-so said that. God put me here. God's blessed me. How can they do that? And this little battle can start going on in his mind and start feasting on things that may not be 100% true. Okay? Because if you read here in Philippians 4 and 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Dear ones, this is a mindset. This is an attitude, okay? I know there's God's grace and His power, but it starts with making up your mind. Am I willing to stay here and wallow in everything that seems unfair and unjust to me? Or am I willing to move forward through the grace and power and strength and direction of the Lord and His blessing upon me, His promises that He's given me? Am I willing to move forward in those areas? And at the same time, I have to focus and think upon these things that are true, honest, just, pure, love, all those things. You know what that does? That helps you gain momentum. Okay? It gets your mind on the right track. Now let's be honest with ourselves. How many of you have ever had to go, maybe it was on the job or some type of business meeting or whatever, and there's something else that's been going on before you get to that meeting, and you're expecting a phone call or a text or someone to meet you and say something, and you're quite distracted, and all these other thoughts and feelings going through your mind, you're dealing with this, and you get in the business meeting, you get in there, and they close the door, and they start, and things are going, but yet your mind is a million miles away. And have you ever got called on the carpet, so to speak? Maybe it's a classroom in school. We're in a business meeting and someone asks, like, so what about? And you're like, oh, you see, it starts in the mind. If you're so distracted by all these other things, you're not able to move forward with the task at hand. What? You could say it this way. You go to that meeting, you go to that classroom, you go to that job for a reason. You were hired. Or you're a student, okay? There's a purpose. There's an end result. You're going to get a paycheck. You're going to get a diploma. There's things in process here. But you can go in there half-heartedly and with your mind going 15,000 different directions and you cannot focus and you cannot function and you cannot perform, and it gets embarrassing to yourself and everyone else around. You're like, what are you doing here? You see, the devil would love for us, as we're pressing on the battles of life, he'd love for us to focus on all the opposite things here mentioned in verse 8. To where we're scattered doing all kinds of things. We have thoughts and feelings about this over here and that over there, and not able to focus on where God is trying to lead us. And it may be as simple as God trying to say, "Child, I just want you to forget that thing now." Okay. And focus. And think upon whatever is true and honest and just and pure and all those things. He's like, that will get your mind in tune with me, child, as God is speaking to us. You see what I'm saying? It is a point of, what are you going to dwell on? Are we going to dwell on, "Thus saith the Lord"? Are we going to dwell on how the Lord has brought us and led us to this point and be thankful for that and build an altar to the Lord and focus on the Lord like Isaac did? You see, he stayed focused. He stayed moving forward. And in the end, he had to go through all that opposition, all those battles, and he still built an altar to the Lord because he still had these positive thoughts towards the Lord. Say, "Lord, I don't understand why I had to go through all those things, but I know you do all things right and just. And I know you have a plan for me, and you have an expected end for me. And I know you love me, Lord. And I know you'll bless me. And thank you for that." He built an altar. and when he, in the process of building that altar, no doubt he's going through this process in verse 8, Philippians 4 and 8. Think on these things. I don't think that Isaac was, as he's building, getting these stones, and he's like, oh yeah, so and so, boom, there they are. Yeah, and I'm going to and build. No, I don't think that was how he did it at all. I believe as he picked up these stones, saying, thank you, Lord, for helping in this time. I'm going to build this one. And Lord, thank you for this other time where you came to my rescue and I just about said or did something out of turn because of the opposition. And I felt stretched beyond it. But Lord, you came up and thank you, Lord. And I built another piece of the altar. You see, I say it's as simple as that. Sometimes it's not simple. Sometimes it's not easy to forget the past and press on toward the mark. Because the devil would have us to focus on all the dark things. The things of bad report. Okay? But we can't do that, dear ones. If we want to, as he said here, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That we can, as the scripture says, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That doesn't mean we're moving forward on our own strength, dear ones. We are moving forward and gaining momentum through what God is blessing us with. And how God has given us that grace that is sufficient in time of need. And moving forward in the power and the might of God. Not someone else, not another organization, and not ourselves. It's through the Lord giving the commands from the throne of God, saying, this is the way, walk you in it. Pray for me, I'll be faithful to the Lord.